Thanks be to God. Tell me anywhere else you're going to hear the word propitiation. Ain't going to happen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, that 34 times St. John uses the word abide. And I think we've almost heard all of them today in the gospel lesson that Patrick read and here in your letter of 1 John. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to abide in you, to rest in you, to remain in you, to find our strength and peace in you. Now, Lord, today as we gather as your family of faith, as we gather as your little children, as your beloved, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to know that your arms are around us and that you want us to know that in the truth we may find freedom, that we have overcome because you overcame, that we love because you first loved us. Lord, help us as we leave here today to know the importance of the Spirit of truth that dwells in us as your children. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, first of all, we have been working through this first letter of John to the churches, and we're hearing a lot of the same language that we hear in John's gospel. Words like abide, love, truth, beloved, these wonderful words that John likes to use. I mentioned in my prayer that he uses that word abide 34 times. And in the first letter of John, he uses it 19 times. So, I mean, it's amazing when you think about the fact that he wants us to understand that we abide in God. We remain in him. When we are baptized into him, as this eunuch was on the road, as Philip shared with him, and he asked, why shouldn't I be baptized? He was baptized. He right then and there abides in Christ. Christ has given him the salvation. He's given him all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given him everything in baptism. And the question for us is, as beloved children of God, what do we do with it? What are we going to do with what God has given to us? The love that he has given to us as a gift, what are we going to do with it? Share it, right? It would be a travesty if we kept it to ourselves. And yet it would be very tempting in our world where selfishness abounds. It'd be very tempting to kind of keep it to ourselves, wouldn't it? Tempting to say, well, you know, I just need a little bit more. When I have a little bit more, then I'll start to share. I think it's kind of interesting. The passage that we're looking at today actually starts, as one of the things about the, I don't know if you know this about the Bible, but someone arbitrarily chose where to put the chapter and verses in the Bible. This is not the way it was written. And I believe that the section that we're reading is because it's chapter 4, verse 1, actually starts back at chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. That's the context of what we're going to hear next. That's the first sentence of this particular doctrine that God wants us to know. And we know that that's the first paragraph or the introduction. And now we're going to go into the parts. And we know the parts because he uses a word style that tells us whenever we see the word beloved or beloved, depending on how you pronounce it, that is telling us that something important is coming. It's like the topic word for the section. So, and that's where we pick up at 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And then he points out the obvious, which I think we all understand is still the case today. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many of us would agree with that? Many false prophets have gone on into the world. Many false religions, many false philosophies, many false opinions. Things that do not I love that song we sang at the end of our communion time. Father, make me just like you. And it said that there was a risk involved. And there's a huge risk involved, isn't there? Who knows that when you pray, Father, make me just like you, I want to be just like you, that there's a risk involved in that. Because it means tremendous change. It goes against the sinful human nature. It goes against what Satan's plan is for us. It goes against the world that we live in. I want to be very clear on this. There's a risk involved in praying, Father, make me just like you. There's a risk involved in that because it requires us to, last week I said something and I was one of our beloved sisters came to me and said, what did you mean by this? And I want to clarify. I said, I'm really tired of nice. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't be nice. I'm just tired of political correctness and this niceness that tells someone, oh yes, you should walk there because you want to walk there, yet there's a big, huge truck coming down the road and they're going to get hit. But you say, oh, because you want to walk there, well, go for a walk. Do what you want because we're nice, right? We don't want to offend them by saying you shouldn't walk there. And yet we know if they walk there, they're going to get into big trouble. That's what I meant by I'm tired of nice. Is everybody so nice that they're leading people down a terrible path? And I love the word that he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, that sounds kind of weird there, doesn't it? Because, again, do you remember who I told you he was writing this to? He was writing this to the churches that were at this time dealing with Corinthus, or Corinthus, depending on how you say it. And he is the proto-Gnostic. He's one of the first Gnostics. And he believed that this demiurge, this demigod had created the world and then came back in the form of Jesus, and that he wasn't really in the flesh. That's one of the reasons why our creeds say that he came in the flesh, fully God and fully man. That's why it says that, because this heresy was taking a tremendous toll on the church. People were believing it because it made far more sense than to believe that he really rose from the dead. I was watching AD, The Bible Continues, that's on NBC, and I thought to myself as I was watching it, and as Jesus appears to the disciples, I think I'm a week behind. I don't know. I got it on my DVR, so I've just been, as I had time, I haven't had much time. But I as he appears to the disciples in the room, it just kind of came to me and said, it would have been very easy to believe that he just kind of passed out and came back, you know, because he's so real. They come up and they give him hugs and everything, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, this had to go through people's minds. They had to wonder, did he really die? Did he really rise again from the dead? And I have to tell you, it snuck into the church, and so they tried to bring that philosophy that was out there, that Greek philosophy of Gnosticism, where, you know, everything is perfect up in the spiritual, and, well, this really doesn't matter in the flesh. And they tried to bring everything together, and they tried to compromise and bring in what the world was saying and make it fit with what the church was saying. It's hard to imagine that the church would actually compromise the word of God to fit into the culture. I know, it couldn't happen. But that's what was happening. The churches were saying, this is a philosophy, it's gaining ground, it's becoming very popular. We need to bring our opinion of Christ as resurrected, as in the flesh, and we need to somehow bring it in to the culture of the Greeks and the Docetists and the Corinthians and those people who were believing this. We need to bring it into line because it's really not that important. And what is the Apostle John, who's in Ephesus at the time, who's faithful, who's the last remaining apostle and writing to the churches, what does he say? If you're a real child of God, What do you believe? The truth. What a concept. If you're a real disciple of Jesus Christ, you believe the truth. And in this particular case, the truth is he came in the flesh. Because that's the heresy. Today it might be something else. Who knows? But in this particular time, the heresy was that he really didn't come in the flesh, that he really didn't die in the flesh, that he was just an illusion of a man. So it didn't have to be this true God and true man. And so it was easy. And so he says, this is what it means to believe. It means to trust that God is really who he says he is, and that Jesus was truly in the flesh. And then he says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world. And whenever you hear these words, and in my Bible, I have a big star beside them, and I have it underlined. I have beloved circled, and I have little children underlined. I just underlined it again, just to make that point. And where it says, little children, understand that this is St. John the pastor talking to his flock, talking to his people, talking to the people of God in the church. And he says, little children, this is not the scolding father figure. He does that. But this is the pastor who is saying to them, knowing who you are, because he just told them that they were children of God, right? Chapter 3, we talk about they were children of God. He says, little children, understand that these spirits of the Antichrist are going to always be with us. They're always going to be in the church. They're always going to be in the world. They're always going to be trying to get us away by little tiny things. They're going to be whispering in our ear saying, do you really believe? Satan hasn't really changed his tactics, by the way. He doesn't really change that way. He says, this works pretty effectively. And he keeps doing it. You ever notice that? He whispers in people's ears little lies that kind of sound like they could be true. He doesn't tell you something outrageous. That's easily deniable. He tells you little things. He causes you to doubt. He causes you to mistrust. He causes us to question. But what does he say there? Norman, you got your Bible, but what does he say? Little children, what? Can you promise me that you will not leave here today without fully understanding, appreciating, hearing, and believing what Norma just read? Can you do that for me? Do it for God, but also do it for me, because I really, really want to make sure that you hear these words, because it's so important. I, as your pastor, want you to understand that we are going to always have Antichrist. I listened to the people making presentations to the Supreme Court this week, and my stomach was turning because I thought, this is just horrible. And then I listened to the words of St. John. He says, it doesn't matter what 9 people in Washington say. Doesn't matter what people say. If it isn't consistent with the Word of God, is it truth? Is it error? Yes. Read it again, Norma. Loud. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Isn't that awesome? We have overcome because he overcame. How many of us have felt lately like we're being overcome? Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I'm fatigued at standing for the truth. Because I'm so surprised at how many people believe the error. I'm just shocked. And I'll tell you something. I went through this 10 years ago in Canada. Talk about deja vu. I want you to understand, we were maybe 12 years ago, we were at the precipice in Canada where our government was bringing in a law that would have told us as churches that we would have to change our view on same-sex marriage, and we would have to marry same-sex couples or as otherwise lose our tax status, lose our all of our stuff. And our church, just so you understand this, our church, Lutheran Church Canada, which is the sister church of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that's why I'm here, they said, we will give everything up rather than change the word of God. We will, no question. And I never forget when we stood there and we were like praying. It was the 11th hour, and Prime Minister Martin, who was the Prime Minister at the time, decided at the last minute to make an exception and allow churches to stand for that freedom. I'll tell you something. There was an example where we were just so thankful, so relieved, because God is still in control, even though the world likes to think they're in control. I'll tell you, I've lived through this, and I don't want to be at the 11th hour again. I'm tired of being there. I said, Lord, I want to be back at the 6th hour. Can I be back over here? I'm tired of this, and I'm fatigued. But you know, I listen to these words of St. John as he writes to the churches, and he says, little children, speaking in that fatherly tone, that pastoral tone, he says, little children, know who you are. Know that you have the Spirit of truth. Know that you are children of God. Know that error cannot defeat you. Little antichrist, come and go, but you will not be defeated. For the Word of God stands a test of time, and we overcome because He overcame. The Spirit that is in us is greater than He who is in the world. He who is in us is greater than He who is in the world. Do you believe it? May God bless us, His people, by letting us know that when we pray and we ask the Lord to make us just like Him, Father, make me just like You, He says, yes. If you want to know what it means to be just like Him, read the Scriptures. We have a great example. We have it in Scripture. We know who Jesus is. We know who God is because we know who Jesus is. He's given us a living example. And we know what it means when we pray, Father, make us just like You. Brothers and sisters, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Because we are children of the living God. Because greater is the One who lives in us than the one who thinks he rules this world. We have overcome because he overcame. May we leave knowing that wonderful truth and walking in the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that gives us the power to live as God's people each and every day. Little children, he that lives in us is greater than he that thinks he rules this world. Amen. Announcements? Don?